18 this morning. I've been studying through this book together. We've come to Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. We're preaching through the end of this chapter all the way down through verse 35. For time's sake this morning, we'll just read for opening's sake here, verse number 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Now, there's a question here that I'm gonna entitle my message this question. How oft shall I forgive? How oft shall I forgive? Now you have to kind of piece that together in that verse, you see, but that is a direct quote. How oft, and then later on, shall I forgive? Let's pray together. We'll share this thought. Father, help us, I pray. Please help me to be faithful to your word. May this be presented in the way that pleases you. Help me not to say anything I should not say, to say only those things that are pleasing to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we come to these verses, I preached on the previous verses this past Wednesday night. But as you come to these verses, the Lord has just dealt with discipline in the local church. And he's trying to gain a brother, if you will. He's teaching on how to gain a brother who has sinned against you. Now, you can go back and get that message. That's verses 15 down through verse number 20. In those verses, he brought out the proper procedures to take in order to try and gain an erring brother. Now, after the Lord was done sharing these specific instructions, Peter comes to him and asks the Lord this question. He said, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? In other words, he's building on what the Lord has just taught on verses 15 to 20. The Lord said, if your brother trespasses against you, go to him, because you might gain him in the process. Peter naturally says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That's this question I want to draw our attention to in this service. This question of how often shall I forgive? And as we dwell on this thought, there are four major thoughts I see. And I trust that these thoughts will be a help and a blessing to you. Number one, let's notice the answer to Peter's question. This is brought out in verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now when Peter came to ask the Lord this question, he proceeded to answer his own question with a question. He said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Now, in the teaching of the rabbis, now stay with me here. In the teaching of the rabbis back in this day, there are 14 references to forgiveness that instruct men to forgive anywhere from one to three times, but never more than three. The idea of that day was if you were sinned against once, forgive him. If you were sinned against twice, it would take a lot of grace, but still forgive him. If he sins against you three times, forget about it. That was the teaching. So we see in this that Peter was thinking he was being super spiritual, you see. He was going above and beyond what was expected of him. And he said, should I forgive him seven times? See, what he was doing, he was doubling the teaching and adding one to it, and he thought the Lord would be impressed with this, you see. You see what he's doing here? However, the Lord burst his bubble. Wouldn't you agree with it? And he said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, somebody may be thinking that means we're to forgive somebody 490 times and that's it. However, who in the world would keep count for that many offenses? This is the point the Lord is making. Now, get this. It's been said that seven was the perfect number. But 70 times seven was the number for eternity. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, we shouldn't keep track of how many times. Okay, that's 350. Now he's just got a little bit more over 100 times and it's over. No. What he's saying is that we should always forgive those who repent. And what he's saying is he's not demanding forgiveness beyond the norm. That's what Peter was doing. He was demanding forgiveness beyond human nature. Number one, the answer to Peter's question is you should forgive him as oft as it takes. Number two, let's notice the account of the servant's debt. Now, in verse number 23, through the rest of the chapter, the Lord begins to give a parabolic teaching. It's a sermon illustration is what it is. It's a story. And in this story, he is emphasizing what he just answered. He is saying to Peter, listen, you're saying seven times. I say unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven. Don't put a number on it. It's the number of eternity. It is endless. You should forgive how often he sins against you. Then he begins to give a story. And in this story, it's the next three points of my sermons here. The next three points of my sermon. But it's all centered around this story. He gives, secondly, the account of a servant's debt. Look at verse number 23 and following. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, the Lord followed his answer to Peter up with what I've already said, a parabolic illustration. In this story, we see the Lord, first of all, speaking about a certain king who had servants under him, and there came a day when he was going to take account of his servants. And when the king began to reckon among his servants, there was one particular servant brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, it's been said that a talent was worth more than the amount someone could earn in 15 years. It's also been said that the economy of that day, a man would have to work 20 years to earn one talent. In other words, somewhere between 15 and 20 years it would take for a man to earn one talent, just one. It's also been said that a talent was the heaviest unit of weight, and 10,000 was the highest round number known in this day. See, when you put teachings in the context of what the Lord is teaching, there's great truths that come out. In other words, he's saying that this particular man here, he owed his king more than he could ever possibly pay. He could never possibly pay the amount that he owed his king. He used the heaviest weight and the heaviest and the largest round number back in that day, and he was saying, this man owed 10,000 talents to his king, and one talent would take anywhere from 15 to 20 years to earn. Come on, friends. Come on. The Lord continued his story by saying the servant's Lord commanded him to be sold. Sell him and sell his wife and sell his children and all that he has and payment to be made. And when the servant knew this, the Bible says he fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee. Are you listening to me? He could never pay that. And his Lord knew it. But he fell at his master's feet and begged for patience. He worshiped his king, and the servant could not pay, but he could humble himself. He owned the debt. He didn't try to put it off on somebody else. He realized this was his debt, and he begged for time. To this request, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Get this, the servant asked for patience and received pardon. The heart of the creditor was touched, and he in compassion forgave the servant's debt and loosed him. What an account we have here of the love, mercy, and grace of this servant's master, who forgave this man's debt that he could never possibly pay. Forgave his debt, friends. That's the account of the servant's debt. Number one, the answer to Peter's question. Lord, you've just told us that any time a brother or sister in Christ sins against us, that we ought to forgive them, we ought to go to them, we ought to try to gain them. And I want to ask you a question, Lord. How often should I do this? Now, I know the teaching says three times. I'll double it and add one. Should I do it at least seven times? The Lord says, I say not unto you seven times, but 70 times seven. Let me give you a story, Peter. There was a certain king who had servants, and there came a day when he called for the accounts. And there was one servant who came, and this particular account of this servant's debt was he owed 10,000 talents, something he could never possibly pay back. And when he fell down at the feet of his master moved with compassion, forgave him all that debt, and turned him loose. Now, if you don't know where the Lord's going with this, you got problems, friends. Third thing that we see is we notice the attitude of this servant who was forgiven toward another fellow servant. Now look at this in verses 28 through 30. Now keep in mind what this servant has just experienced. In other words, this particular servant owed his king, owed his master 10,000 talents. He falls at his master's feet. His master gives him compassion, forgives him of the debt, and sets him free. Now notice what this servant did. Look at verse number 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Sound familiar? This servant is now asking him what he asked his king. He heard the same thing that he just gave himself. Look at verse 30. And he would not. Not that he could not, but he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now the Lord is teaching some great thoughts here. See, after the servant who owed the enormous debt was forgiven, he went immediately out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. He lays hands on him, takes him by the throat, friends, demanding for him to pay him what he owed. It's been said, now there's some variation in this, just like there's variation in a talent, but it's been said that this fellow servant owed him somewhere around $17. When he owed his king millions upon millions. Which is, now get this, no matter, even though there's fluctuation, it's somewhere around that amount. The point is this, this servant owed him nothing in comparison to the debt that he owed his own master. Amen or not, friends? This servant, get this, the Bible calls him a fellow servant. You know what that means? It means it's one of his equals. He's equal with this man, and this man is equal with him. He fell down at his feet and begged him to have patience with him, and he would pay all. This is exactly what this servant had done with his master. However, instead of showing mercy and grace as he had been shown, the Bible says he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. See, it's been said that a lender could seize the borrower who could not pay back what he owed. This is back in this day. He could force him and his family to work the debt off. He could throw him into prison or sell the family into slavery to help pay the debt. Because see, it was hoped that the debtor, while in prison, would sell off his land holdings, or his relatives sell off his land holdings just to pay the debt. And if they didn't do that, he could remain in prison for life. We must understand that this was not his servant, nor his inferior. This was one of his own equality. This was one who was a companion in service. Get this. what right did this servant have of choking his Lord's servant, friends? See, he's the servant of his Lord, but so is this man who owes him 100 pence. He has no right to put his hands on one of his Lord's servants. No right. He has no right to treat him this way, especially after how gracious and forgiving his Lord had been to him, you see. He was mistreating one who belonged to his own king. He had been spared. Should he not spare others? Amen. Number one, the answer to Peter's question. Number two, the account of that servant's debt. He could never pay it off, but his Lord forgave him that debt and released him. Number three, the attitude of that servant toward another servant who wronged him. What that servant owed him was nothing in comparison to what he owed his Lord, but yet he did not forgive him. He took him by the throat, said, I'm not going to let you breathe until you pay this to me. And he fell down at his feet, begged for patience, just like he did with his Lord, and he would not do it. And he threw him in prison. That brings me to my fourth and final point, and that's this. We see the effects of unforgiveness. The effects of unforgiveness. What happened when this took place? By the way, what's the Lord teaching in this story? To forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. What's he teaching Peter and those disciples? Don't put a time limit on it. Don't put a number limit on it. You ought to forgive them because you have been forgiven. This is what he's teaching. In the closing verses, verses 31 through and following, notice what happens. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. In the closing verses of this story, we see the twofold effect of unforgiveness. There's two effects I see. First of all, in verses 31, actually just verse 31, we see that the effects of this unforgiveness is we see other servants saw it and became grieved. The Bible says, so when his fellow servants, that's other people just like them, they're equal. When they saw what happened, the Bible says they were sorry. You know what that word sorry means? It means grieved. It means sorrowful and distressed. In other words, get this, friends. Servants were affected by an unforgiving spirit among them. They knew it was wrong. It disrupted the fellowship of the servants, is what I'm trying to say. These fellow servants were watching the whole thing between these two other fellow servants, just like them, arguing, bickering, all this kind of stuff. And this man falls down and asks for pity. Don't you think that these servants knew more than likely what their king had just done for this servant? And they watch him who's been forgiven such a great debt, and they're over here watching this, and they see him not show pity, not show compassion, and show an unforgiving spirit. And the other servants in that place were grieved. Let me say this to you. If there is a spirit of unforgiveness in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, it will affect the flock of God. If you have an unforgiving spirit in your heart, and if there's somebody in this life that you refuse to forgive, you are very selfish because there are other servants watching it, and they'll know about it, and they'll become grieved. Secondly, we see in verses 32 through the end of the chapter, verse 35, that these servants came and told their Lord what happened. And the Lord of all those servants said unto the unforgiving servant, he said, "O thou wicked servant." He said, "You're wicked." He said, "I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should you not have gone and done the same with your fellow servant?" The Lord became angry and delivered this servant to the tormentors till he should pay the debt. Tormentors were jailers allowed to scourge and torture poor debtors in order to get money from them for the creditors, or else to excite compassion of friends to obtain the debt. The point here is this. The wicked servant was unwilling to grant his fellow servant what he wanted his Lord to grant him, and therefore ended up in a prison of torment. Let me summarize what this is teaching, okay? The Lord teaches in these verses how those who have been forgiven by God of their great debt that they could never pay. Are you listening to me? You could never pay the debt you owed to God. Because one sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. The sin debt is sinless blood. And you have none running through your veins. You could never pay the debt. But when you trusted Christ as your Savior, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Jesus came and washed my sins away. When He paid the debt that I could never pay, and I trust Him as my Savior, I realize that I cannot work my way to heaven. I cannot be baptized to go to heaven. I cannot earn my way to heaven. I have a debt that had to be paid, and Jesus paid it. And when you trust Christ who paid your sin debt, then He has forgiven you the debt that you could never pay alone. And the teaching is this. He's saying those who've been forgiven by God for the great debt that they could never pay God should be ready and willing to forgive their erring brother who owes us practically nothing in comparison to what we were indebted to God for. If we choose not to forgive an erring brother or sister in Christ, we are destined for certain punishment. Not hell, but torment. Torture. And I'm telling you that torture, and we will end up in prison even though we are free. Get this. Warren Wiersbe put it this way. The world's worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. It is possible for a child of God who has been set free to end up in a prison of unforgiveness. And thereby tormenting yourself with a guilty conscience. And I'm talking about torture and torment, even as a child of God. Unforgiveness does it. Unforgiveness does it. Dr. Criswell, he made this statement. Many of God's children today are under the disciplinary correction of God because there is someone whom they will not forgive. See, some people try to teach that what Jesus is saying here is that, listen, if you don't forgive your brother, he's going to retract his forgiveness and he's going to send you to hell. You cannot find that in that scripture, friends. That is not what that's teaching. It's teaching that those of God's children who do not forgive another child of God will be under the chastising hand of God Himself. And they will suffer torment. And they will be tortured. Now stay with me here. John R. Rice put it this way, after God's abounding mercy toward us, how ungrateful we appear in the sight of God when we are angry and bitter towards a brother who wrongs us. After the Civil War, General Robert E. Lee one night went into a hotel dining room for his evening meal. Almost all the people there were Southern people. Their first impulse was to cheer, but they knew the general would not like that. So they arose and stood there in silence, tears in their eyes, as the beloved general took his seat. Then General Lee discovered some Northerners in the room. They had been placed in a corner away from other guests. So General Lee said to some of the people around him, "Hasn't anyone given a welcome to our brothers from the north?" "Why," they exclaimed, "they're our enemies." "No," General Lee said, "they are our brothers, our Christian brothers." So he went over and gave them a warm greeting. And when he came back to the table, a young lady said to him, "General, don't you have any hate in your heart?" And that general said, "Honey, I can tell you honestly, I have no hate in my heart for any man." See, General Lee had something that we need. It is wicked not to forgive a brother in Christ. I didn't say it. The Lord of the servants did. He said, "Oh, thou wicked servant." Dr. Clarence Sexton said this, and I quote, "The Bible says, 'I forgave thee,' that is enough, dash, forgive others, exclamation point." When we are tempted not to forgive, we should think about Calvary. My friends, forgiven people should be quick to forgive others. How readily should we forgive the little offenses from which we suffer? Since our Lord has pardoned our sin, may God's children say, along with Spurgeon many years ago, he said, and I quote, "May my heart be as ready to pardon offenses as it is to beat." Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Ephesians 4:30-32, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, here it is. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Somebody's sitting here today in a crowd this size, there's no doubt in my mind that somebody's been offended. There's no doubt. I'm talking about children of God. Now, if you're not saved today, you really can't forgive others, because you haven't experienced the forgiveness of God, you see. And this great debt that I owed, you owe the same one, and you can never pay it in yourself. The great thing is Jesus Christ has already paid what we never could pay. And if you trust Christ as your Savior, He'll forgive you that debt. And He'll loose you and set you free. But if you are a child of God today, let me talk direct to you just a moment. Everybody has somebody who stabs them in the back. If you live long enough, there's a brother, it's a shame, but if you live long enough, a brother or sister in Christ, more than likely, I cannot guarantee it, but more than likely, if you live long enough, a brother or sister in Christ will sin against you. They will wrong you. And in your flesh, you're going to want to get even. And in your flesh, you'll stop talking to them. And in your flesh, you'll just sit back and just hope God lets them have it. But the message today is we see the very heartbeat of God. I know that servants owe servants things. But my children, who I forgave, Jesus is talking, should automatically be willing every time to forgive their brother or sister. And he says the reason you should is because of what I did for you. So I ask you two questions today. Number one, have you been forgiven by God? Number two, is there somebody you need to forgive. If you say, yes, but I will not do it, you are sitting in prison. And the tormentors are going to come. Can I say something to you? I don't know who those tormentors are. And I don't want to find out either. Amen or not, friends. God help us who are forgiven to forgive others. I say not unto thee 7 times. I say unto thee 70 times 7, the number of eternity. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Speak to us. Challenge our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. And as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed and they begin to play through softly, I'm going to ask those same questions. Number one, have you been forgiven by God? There are two types of people in the world today, those who are forgiven and those who are not. Those who are saved and those who are not. Those who are Christians and those who are not. If you're here today and you say, Jody, in that story about that master, that Lord who had such a great debt that servant owed him, and yet he forgave him when the servant fell at his feet and worshiped him. That's a picture of God. And God is ready and willing to forgive anybody's sin debt who will trust the payment that he made through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Have you trusted him? Are you forgiven? Are you saved? Is there somebody here today say, Jody, pray for me. I am concerned that I am not forgiven. I'm concerned that I'm not saved. I am not a child of God. Maybe you're doubting, or maybe you know you're lost and you say, Jody, if I died today, I'm concerned I would not go to heaven. I'm concerned about that. Because see, those who go to heaven are those who've been forgiven by God. And only those are forgiven who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I want to ask God to forgive my sins. I want to be a child of God. I want my sin debt that I could never pay to be forgiven. Is there one like that? Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. I want to know the Lord. I want to be forgiven. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Put it up. Put it right back down. We will not come to your seat. I will not embarrass you. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I've been forgiven. But no doubt when you preach this message, God had me in mind. There is somebody in this life that I am thinking of right now that God's telling me that I need to forgive them. I need to forgive them, not because they deserve it, but friends, neither did you, neither did I. But because he forgave us, we should be willing to forgive them. Have you say, Jody, this message today is for me. Now, this message will be for everybody, in my opinion, I believe, somewhere along the line. But today, you say, this message is for me today. I needed this. God is speaking to me. There is somebody I need to forgive. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? There is somebody you need to forgive. Yes. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'd like to invite you to come pray. I'd like to invite those who want to come join this church to come. There are steps that must be taken for that, but maybe you want to come and start that process. As soon as we stand in just a moment, I'm going to dismiss those who are going to be baptized in just a moment. As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, you who are being baptized, if you'll make your way to the appropriate rooms, as soon as Brother Gary begins to sing. Maybe you're here and you need Jesus. Come. Come. We'll take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought and use it in a great way. Help people to respond May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If you are being baptized, you can, as soon as he begins to sing, you leave your place. Come now, won't you do it?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Somebody that needs to come and pray, come talk to God about it.
I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Let me give you a couple of announcements very quickly as they're preparing for the baptismal service. As most of you know, we are in the midst of our birthday offering for Jesus. I encourage you to continue to pray about that. This is not new to you. These causes that we're giving to are all listed in the bulletin for you. Also, the prison ministry, Christmas treat bags, is a separate ministry. Both of these are ways that we can reach out to people, give them the gospel, minister to them. A new announcement for you. There is a table in the lobby today with Preacher Lashley's book entitled Jesus Led Me All the Way. That will be on sale for the next 3 weeks. How many of you have never read Preacher Lashley's book? Oh, sin in the camp. All right. Many of you are new in our church. I know that. And that's one reason we're doing that. You've not had access to it. But if you'd like to understand a little bit of the history of our church, this is the book to read. And, of course, covers preacher's ministry extensively. And that will be available for $8 for paperback, $12 for hardback. If you want to pay $15, come to me, and I'll be glad to sell it to you also. All right, one final announcement. If you consider yourself to be a senior citizen, if you'd raise your hand. Good, I'm raising mine. Isn't that sad? Goodness. We have a meeting for you folks right after the service, right here on the organ side. Have a couple of activities in December we want to discuss with you, make sure we're all on the same page, know exactly what's going on. So senior citizens, right after the service, organ side. Ushers, please come. We'll receive the offering this morning.
I think Brother Jody's going to take care of that after that.
Good. Just stay right there, and after the baptismal service, he'll present this to church. Good. All right. Lord, we do thank you for the admonition from your word this morning. My, how practical. There are probably folks here today that are in their homes. Husbands and wives have things that are unforgiven. Parents and children have things that are unforgiven. Employees, employers, all these relationships, Lord, and we need to follow your admonition. And I pray you'd help us as believers to do that and to be forgiving people. That we might walk in unity and in peace. We pray for these being baptized this morning, that they truly would walk in newness of life, that you would empower them to become what they ought to be. Bless this offering now. Use it in the establishment of thy work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Steve and a few, and Ashley want to stand together. Ashley's been has been saved recently and baptized here. She joined by baptism. This is her husband, Stephen. We've been Georgia visiting with us. He's coming today. He wants to join this church by letter from the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Irwin, Tennessee. He has been saved. He has been scripturally immersed. And he wants to join ranks with us here. This is a precious couple. I appreciate you being here. What's the motion that we receive him by letter from his church, please? Brother Mark, great. Brother Cash, second. All in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. So carried. Great. God bless you. Now, what this means is I what you have to do is feed your pastor once a week. We're glad you're here. God bless you. I'm going to have you just kind of hang out in the front there. And after the service, many of you come by and shake their hand. This is Haley Miller over here. Haley, if you want to stand, and Miss Stephanie, if you want to stand with her there, she is coming today. One of our precious children, and she is trusting Christ today as her Savior. Am I right by saying that? Wonderful. We're so glad for you. Have you happy for her? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Can you imagine how intimidating it is for a child to come here, in here, and all of that? We're so glad you're here. God bless you. Our children who come in here for this, they've been dealt with very thoroughly. And we don't take stuff like this for granted. So we know she's been dealt with and she's trusted Christ. Welcome to the family of God. Okay? We hope you'll stay in here with us. And then we're baptizing four today. We're going to vote on them. I'm just going to call them all off here and then we'll baptize them. Miss Etta Sensabaugh, Hannah Hopkins, Christina Blazer, and Jeremiah O'Quinn. Correct? Is that how you pronounce that? O'Quinn, right? O'Quinn, I like it. And these are the four that were baptized today. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them into the membership of our church upon their baptism here? Could I get that, Brother Hay? Very good, Brother Shaw. All in favor, raise your hand, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. So carried. Very good. I'm going to lay those right there. Hopefully they don't get wet, all right? Great. Three of these are off the brand new bus route with Brother Perkins. God bless you, sir. Wonderful. This is Miss Etta Sensabaugh. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
I love you. Amen. Wonderful. This is Jeremiah O'Quinn. We're glad he's here. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
God bless you. I'm proud of you, young lady. God bless you. This is Hannah Hopkins. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. This is Christina Blazer. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. Raised to walk. I scared her there, but we got her back up. God bless you. It's good to see the baptismal waters troubled today, right? been done as the Lord Jesus has clearly commanded, and all God's people said.
Amen.
And yet there is still room. And praise the Lord for that. Let's stand together, please. I'm going to ask Brother Brad Griffin, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to lift your voice. Please be back tonight, 6:30. Pray for the John Spear Chapel at 4:30. And come up here and shake this precious couple's hands and let them know we're glad to have them today. God bless you.
Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the way your Spirit spoke to us through the message. Lord, let us take it as a warning. Lord, let us never do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us have a forgiving heart. Lord, we thank you for the way that you worked among us, Lord, and that we saw people saved through a new bus ministry and follow you, Lord, in believers' baptism. Lord, we pray that you'd always work among us and walk among us and deal in our hearts and, Lord, speak to us. Lord, we thank you for what we saw this morning in Levi's testimony, Lord, how you're blessing him as a missionary, Lord, and, Lord, and really you're blessing a family and you're blessing this church. Lord, we covet your blessing among us. Now, Lord, help us this week to be concerned about the things you're concerned about. And Lord, bless us now as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Seniors, come this